You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Six months, 82 games, and finally, the postseason is here. First up, the SoFi NBA Play-In Tournament. For this, the rules are simple. Win to get in. Eight teams battle to earn their playoff spot in a win-or-go-home style tournament that is bound to be full of highlights, excitement, and drama. There's no better way to set the tone for the playoffs than this, so make sure you don't miss the action. Watch TNT's coverage of the SoFi NBA Play-In Tournament on April 16th and 19th on TNT, True TV, and Max.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
I believe that Charlotte Wilder, Stugatz, is coming in here and is wearing a bit of a mask, a Celtics fan mask. I don't believe it to be authentic. I believe she's roaring with laughter at the tragicomedy, denying people the Boston tears that they want because she's like, no, it was funny last night when Jimmy Butler was the fourth leading scorer and the Heat won by 26. I had the season of hope for the Celtics, and it was funny that Gabe Vincent had a career high and Duncan Robinson and Bam took five shots and my team is falling apart. It's okay. Funny she lies again and again in her entrance to Meadowlark Media.
Okay, so when you put it that way, it does, I feel sad. But you should have seen me. You should. After Friday night's game, that's when that was bad. I was angry. I was sad. And then going into last night, I was like, this could go one of two ways.
Good or bad.
Yep. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And it went very bad. And so I think a part of me died after game two. And then game three, I was just like, I'm numb. So this is funny.
Sometimes all you can do is laugh, right?
Exactly. Don't cry because it's over. Smile because it happened.
Yeah, you say that, but I remember what Boston was doing after game two, where it was the entire city of Boston backing away from Grant Williams with, what did you do? What have you done? You've enraged Michael Jordan. Clearly now we're going to lose. There wasn't a lot of laughter in that. It was a city scared, a city that really cares unreasonably about basketball, saying, wait, I thought we were the team with heart and grit. We've got Marcus Smart. He's the toughest. We're going to beat him with toughness. And then your superstars fall apart.
Yes, completely.
Not funny.
But, you know, I know another city that seems to care a lot about basketball. So I think
Denver?
I'm in it.
Yeah.
How about that conversation? This is a disaster for Adam Silver.
The worst. I mean, he was staring at Lakers Celtics, and now he's got Nuggets and Heat.
He is weeping. He is weeping at how awful this is. The country doesn't want this, and now we get into the dumb argument about whether ratings matter to fan bases.
What I have to make an entire country wait up until 9 o'clock for Nuggets and Heat? Get out of here.
What are the Jokic brothers doing screaming at Jack while he's walking out of the arena? Like, that's an old man. Why are they doing that?
Heckling an old man.
They've got no respect.
They also say, we'll see you next year. Like, are we sure?
The Lakers should rest Anthony Davis and LeBron tonight, right?
Yeah.
I like that earlier in there, Dan, you admitted that Jimmy is Michael Jordan. That was really good of you. Thank you.
Okay, go sit in the penalty box again. The show's not going to be edited on time because he can't do his job because he keeps getting sent to the penalty box because he's Heat Culture Guy today in a way that's obnoxious, even by the standard of a show that platforms Parakeet Cortez and Mike Ryan.
But I have heard Jimmy Butler mentioned in the same sentence as Kobe Bryant, Larry Bird, Magic Johnson, Michael Jordan. How did this happen?
Checks out. Yep, checks out. Heat in three, baby.
No, you get out of here, too.
What?
Celtics fans are denying us. No, they're denying.
Do you think that this is an argument that the NBA isn't rigged?
I mean, this would be.
This sort of helps.
He would rig it, yes.
Yes.
This
has the potential to go very poorly if the Jokic brothers get upset by refereeing in the next round. The Jokic brothers are terrifying. They chased a legend off the court yesterday. Poor Jack Nicholson doesn't have time these days to comb his hair.
No yoke.
It's probably windy outside. Let's cut him some slack.
That made me sad.
He's 84. The Jokic brothers, Denver. Mike Malone seems to be going for, I'm incredibly bitter that you people keep covering the Lakers and keep ignoring that I've got like an unprecedented MVP on my team. I've got Jamal Murray shouting bang at Mike Breen because they're having so much fun. And the entire storyline is just, can the Lakers come back down from down 3-0? And Mike Malone is just pissed. Like, we are going to have a maximum pissed finals. Everyone's enraged. That doesn't seem like a good idea between Jimmy Butler and the Jokic brothers.
I will say, though, that Jack, as a Celtics fan right now, I feel like Jack Nicholson in that clip. Where he's going, his hair's all messed up. Need a brush?
Yeah.
Just someone give him a wet comb.
Well, there's sadness behind those eyes.
I think that's by design. I think it's like, look at this life that I have now. I'm changing up my hair.
I don't even have time to brush it. Yeah.
This was viewed as the welcoming back of the Laker era. Post-pandemic, they won a weird bubble championship with LeBron. But Jack is back. Jack was coming back to the games. It's normalcy again. The Lakers matter. Oh, no. They've got a giant 7-foot loaf of bread who's just crushing the entirety of the Laker dynasty. And nobody understands what that is, what's happening. And Jamal Murray, we're all assuming, is that just because that loaf of bread exists.
Jamal Murray, and I didn't realize this, and shame on me for not realizing this in the bubble because he went bananas, but he is the difference between that team stopping in the Western Conference semifinals or the Western Conference finals and them winning a championship.
Stugatz, I said it ridiculously during the pandemic. When Denver played Utah with Donovan Mitchell in the first round, it's the best basketball I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. But Denver's not as good at defense as Miami is. And I don't know what that means because I've been wrong about every Miami thing that I've thought. Wrong about every single one.
That's right.
No, let's talk about this for a second. Like, Dan has somehow been opinionless this whole season. Like, what side of this is he on? Is he on the Jer Bear side or is he on the Mike Tony side?
I'm on the
journalist.
Are you a Celtics fan?
I am on the wrong side. I have gotten everything wrong. Jimmy Butler can't be a number one, can't be a superstar. I thought the Celtics were better, and I thought that the Heat were going to lose to the Bucks. And I didn't think they'd lose to the Knicks, but they're the Knicks. Didn't show me anything. Congratulations.
The Knicks have been the most competitive. What do you mean?
I know. It's crazy. And then I didn't think this would happen. In the most predictable sport. What I am is loud wrong.
You're not telling people how to think. You're just asking if they'd like to.
There are Knicks fans in my life who looked at me after game 3 and said, so you know this means the Knicks are better than the Celtics.
Wow.
And I couldn't. That's when I started to cry, Stu. You missed those tears.
That really is the craziest poll. Like you went over earlier in the show, there's a lot of crazy things about this, but the Knicks being the hardest thing so far for the Heat, that is just wacky.
Or nothing being hard for the Heat.
They played the Bucks and the Celtics, and the Knicks were the hardest. What is going on?
This has been a fairly easy run. Yeah, the Bulls. The play-in game.
Technically the Hawks.
The Hawks.
They lost the first play-in game.
The Hawks drag the Heat.
Hang the banner.
Ow!
Yeah. What is life right now?
Double digits, the Hawks beat them. And in the fourth quarter, they needed to win a fourth quarter against the Bulls at home that no one had confidence they were going to win.
They were down 4 with like 2.5 minutes to go.
Like 6.
Well, yeah. In Boston, we know that all that matters is how many quarters you won, not the end score of the game.
Well, some people are writing in here by welcome, Charlotte. Charlotte Wilder, awesome. Thanks for joining us for Nebulous Projects. Hope she's on my show full time. So it's 12 people talking over each other all the time.
Wow.
What are you guys talking about?
I wanted to get something.
We get it.
To something Pat Riley related.
How did you manage in trying to not do it?
David Aldridge reports on Twitter: Pat Riley is one win away from his 19th appearance in an NBA Finals as a player, coach, or executive. 19. That'll mean Riley has either played in, coached in, or been his team's top decision maker in 25% rounded up of all the finals in NBA history.
Can we do like a credit pie with the Heat? Because like it feels like every time something happens, that person gets all the credit. Like Eric Spoelstra, the greatest coach in the history of the NBA, blah, blah, blah. Look at what he did with his team. That then it's like, well, we need a Pat Riley story. Pat Riley, look at what he did with it. And then Andy Ellisberg is like, Andy Ellisberg, look how he put this team. Oh, Jimmy Butler did this. Oh, Caleb Martin. Every time we read an article, someone else is completely responsible for what's going on with the Heat.
Two words, Billy. Heat culture.
Yeah. Thank you.
Back to you, Dan.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean?
It means Heat in 3.
You're asking again, Billy?
Well, what, Pat Riley, is he just going to be getting credit forever?
Well, why not?
Well, because we gave all the credit to Spo.
Right.
And Jimmy Butler. No. Riley gets credit for all the undrafted guys.
Spo gets credit for bringing this specific unit together and just making them gel in a way that the Celtics just can't. I mean,
what does Zeller get credit for? No worse.
Do you mean the vets, Chris?
It's a gack. That means exactly.
Oh, wow. You're explaining the Joe Zagacki joke.
Mansplaining, some might say.
Man.
I just felt her be like, what the hell did he
well,
just say?
Well, it is reasonable to wonder when a human being blurts or quacks a Zagack.
Not around here.
Like, what does that mean? What does that mean? Yes, when a new person comes in, and by way of welcome, you hit him with a Zagack. Like, yeah, that's not a courtesy.
You guys didn't mansplain anything to me when I started.
Yeah. I know.
Zagack.
Unfair.
Chris did tell you, Chris Whittingham did teach you a little thing about childbirth, so let's not go there.
I can't. Witty. What? All right. Well, enough about the NBA, Dan. We've been talking about the Heat and Celtics all day. I propose we talk about a different sport instead. I have, for the first time ever today, a Formula One second. Would you like to hear it?
A second?
All right. Hold on. We need
Formula
imaging.
Formula One second.
We need imaging here. Please get me that.
Fast.
Do you need a build up?
Are you ready for this?
I don't know. Are we ready?
The first ever Formula One second. When the beat drops. The first one to ever happen. Here we go. Race canceled.
One and a half seconds.
I mean, it is efficient and it's accurate coverage. Why was it canceled?
There is a massive crisis in northern Italy. There's flooding. There is
a drowning city.
There's landslides. They did not want to
you guys
just
keep making
divert.
Jokes.
I'm not joking right now. I just am smiling because I'm very awkward. But if you're interested in helping the people of this region of Italy, go to the Formula One Instagram and Twitter pages. The Formula One teams are all chipping in to help them clean up. But there was no race this weekend, so that was your Formula One second. Thoughts and prayers to the people of northern Italy. Mm-hmm.
Scientists, somehow this happened quietly. The climate news is remarkably depressing, Stugatz. And basically, we are scientists. We are, you laugh.
No, because weather used to be a happy place.
No, it is not anymore.
On your news telecast, I'm saying sports and news, it was lightening things up.
Scientists have underestimated everything. And we are killing the Earth at a much, much faster rate of speed than everything is going to be destroyed in 400 years. It's not very far away.
Dan, we have some breaking news. Carmelo Anthony has retired.
Wow. Oh! Still playing?
Hawk great.
It's official.
Wow. What great?
Atlanta Hawk?
What?
He's a Hawk? Since when? He's retiring a Hawk? Put it on the poll at Levitard Show. Did you know Carmelo Anthony was retiring as an Atlanta Hawk?
I don't know if that's
no, he's
no, he was a Laker.
Six months, 82 games, and finally, the postseason is here. First up, the SoFi NBA Play-In Tournament. For this, the rules are simple. Win to get in. 8 teams battle to earn their playoff spot in a win-or-go-home style tournament that is bound to be full of highlights, excitement, and drama. There's no better way to set the tone for the playoffs than this, so make sure you don't miss the action. Watch TNT's coverage of the SoFi NBA Play-In Tournament on April 16th and 19th on TNT, True TV, and Max.
Dan Levitard.
We like to call this one a chorus of Owen Wilson. Yeah. Ready?
Stugatz.
Wow.
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 This is the Dan Levitard Show with the Stugatz.
Chris Cody just caught me sort of daydreaming here before we started, and he's like, I like that look on your face. You look happy. And the reason I was smiling to myself is because in 2023, Mike Malone hit the media with put that in your pipe and smoke it.
No way. He's in Denver, too.
And I think he used it wrong. Mike Malone, the Nuggets coach, seems enraged that people don't really care about the Nuggets outside of Denver. And he's carrying it with him. He's like, you're the media. Will you stop covering LeBron? We're kicking his ass.
But he's more interested.
But only because the media insists he's not actually anymore. Like, Denver's got a better player. It's a stupid thing we're doing with the 38-year-old.
So after we say you have this incredible, unprecedented player, what are we supposed to do with Mike Malone?
Well, this is the problem. It's our fault.
Honestly.
Yes, we're going to be really confused when they're holding up the trophy with a ratings disaster behind them.
We'll blast them for the low ratings.
No, no, we won't. I will. I'm not going to blast anybody or even care about the ratings.
Why was Peyton Manning so mad that the Denver Nuggets won? Did anybody see that? I'm just talking to myself. Never mind.
No, tell us about
on
it.
On with your show.
What did he say? Did he say something?
No, so the Lakers lost, and Peyton is sitting like in the front row.
Wow.
And then they like pan, the whole crowd is going wild. They pan over to Peyton Manning, and he has like this grumpy scowl on his face. His arms are crossed. Like, he just looks upset that it's going on. And then I think that he realizes the camera's on him, so he just does like a very forced clap like he's never clapped before in his life.
I was wondering, like, what I noticed this during one of the WNBA games this weekend. Like, if you're sitting in the stands and you're on TV, sometimes it'll be the same feed that's on, like, the Jumbotron, and you'll look up and see yourself. What is your play there? Are you going to go, like, then look down and find the camera and, like, wave to it? Or are you just going to do, like, the awkward look up while you smirk thing? Because I don't know which one looks more awkward, but they both seem uncomfortable.
I like to go with the surfer dude. Thing.
Yeah, you gotta lean in.
You're gonna look for the camera.
You gotta lean in and do something weird. Or not even look for the camera. Mm-hmm. Just like.
You gotta act like you don't see it. You gotta be like, oh, shoot.
Or be totally uncool about it and whip out your phone and just start filming yourself on
That's what I actually have done before.
Maybe like a cool salute. Just like.
Mm-hmm. Well, weren't you guys complaining before the show that the Dolphin coach wasn't quite cool enough for you guys yesterday when he was being put on screen?
I think the jury's out on him right now.
Well, no, here's the deal. If they have to tell you who the celebrity is, you're not a celebrity. I mean,
people in that arena know who he is.
Do they?
Yeah.
You
but
sure?
Do people at home?
Yeah. Well, it was just something caught on like social media. It wasn't something for the audience at home. It was just an in-arena before the game, the lower level.
No, he was on the broadcast too.
Oh, I was talking about, I saw a clip of him like on the court pregame, like hyping with DJ M.Dot. Hyping up the crowd.
Shout out to M.Dot.
And you could just tell he's like, I got to be cool here. So he was trying to like wave a flag cool. And
DJ
I was just
M.Dot,
like,
Miami Department of Transportation?
Yeah, that's my guy.
What?
That was one of the cool, like when, in that last
you
heat game.
Fix the roads.
The last heat game I went to where I got caught in the press box cheering for the Panthers. Coolest moment of the night was when M.Dot and Uptown Dale like came up to me and like knew who I was.
Wow.
I was like, oh my God, I've made it.
Look at me, Louie.
Look at me, Louie.
Really wait, cool, someone though. Named DJ Cool knew who you were?
DJ M.Dot and Uptown Dale. Get it right.
Oh, Uptown Dale.
DJ Cool.
Uptown Dale is an amazing
name. It's not
name.
Uptown Dollar?
What do you like about Uptown Dale?
I think it's Dale is not the name you go to when you think, like, no offense to Dale's. I think that
it's not a cool name. Uptown's about as cool as you can make Dale.
Huh. Yeah, and like Uptown, it's like a Billy Joel vibe where you're like not totally
sure. Which is
sure.
Not cool.
That's what
exactly.
We call that's what we call our 300 level. And he used to be like Uptown Dale is like upstairs, so he'd be like up with the crowd. But now he's downtown. Now he's downtown Dale.
Is he? So he's downtown Uptown Dale.
He's on the court.
Well, this is what's happened, and it's been quiet. It's been an underreported story. Dale is no longer uptown. He preferred to
he's
be closer to downtown. That's correct.
If we need some journalism, I'll get on it, Dan.
Please do, because I need more of your actual reporting and less of your homerism around here.
Didn't Uptown Dale do a bunch of your daughter's parties, Stugatz?
He did their bat mitzvah, and man, did he crush it. I mean, one of the all-time great DJs I've ever seen. He made the bat mitzvah.
Did you pay him or did you weasel out of it? Like, I'll promote you. Come on, stupidity.
I owe you.
Speaking of bills coming due, I think I want to advise as a television prank for Charles Barkley to get his friend Shaquille O'Neal on television. Apparently FTX... we've laughed about this before. They keep trying to serve Shaq, and he's hiding, and it's hard for him to hide because look at him, but he's hiding in his house. Apparently, they've thrown, like, the papers at his SUV as he was driving away. Charles needs to help him get served.
They got him. They got him a couple weeks ago.
I'm picturing him hiding in, like, a bathroom in, like, the stall, and, like, you see his head above it. And his seat below it
and the papers are just floating above.
It's done. I hadn't received that
news. I read
that
they finally got him. I don't know how. They found Shaq, but they got him.
It would have been such a great prank for Charles Barkley to do that on television. I mean, eventually he's got can't. You're not able to hide forever. You're anybody.
You can.
I think that would ruin a friendship.
You've got like Ernie before break, just being like, before we go to break here. Here's sorry, Shaq.
You have a producer handing him the production notes for the day, and then it's just the lawsuit. We should do that to you as a prank.
There's a trickiness here. 2 days ago, NBC Sports says he still hasn't been served, so he may not have been served yet. So wow. your dream of his friend betraying him on national TV, Dan, is still alive.
It's just a great prank is all I'm saying. And it's certainly a terrible friend. It's helping the authorities when no one roots for the authorities. It's the criminal justice system in disarray. But also, Shaq and Brady and all these crypto frauds got a lot of money. They suckered sports people first because they know they're the dumbest. And we should throw some papers at Shaq and make him repay some people because it was his credibility. The FTX is still on this arena. They can't. It's the thing. You laugh. The thing on the roof of it can't be helicoptered out because it weighs too much.
So CNN has an article saying he was served in April. So this is your whole thing with journalism, Dan. Yeah. Like, first it starts with cheering in the press box. Now NBC's reports is saying that he's not served.
Do something, Jeremy.
Yeah, exactly, Jeremy. Charlotte, you're here now. Has he been served?
Oh, I don't know. But I do know that at Kaseya? Whatever.
Well, that's just Billy putting you in a bad position, Toronto. That's all that was right there. Just throwing the entire show right at the back of your head.
Yeah, thanks, Billy.
By the way, should you have something sitting on the roof of a building that's too heavy to lift off of the roof?
That's a good point. I think the Freedom is still on the top of the little pavilion at the Clevelander from 2 years ago.
You know what they still have that I loved at the arena is the little barrier things. What do you call those? Like, keep people in line. They all say FTX Arena on them. Just like little sprinklings of what could have been.
It seems like just about every outlet says Shaq was served, but as of 5 days ago, it's the Wall Street Journal who says he was not served. So CNN and the Wall Street Journal going at it.
I don't know about them.
I mean, media's falling apart. This show is a great example of that.
Who do you trust?
I can't trust anybody.
The Wall Street Journal?
No, not anymore.
Really?
Not anymore.
What a sad time for you.
Corrupted and contaminated. All of journalism. And here, too. Because Charlotte Wilder purports to be a journalist, and I've seen precious little evidence.
Well, give me a second.
What are these nebulous projects that we're talking about? What can we tell the people that they're going to be getting from Charlotte Wilder?
What is nebulous?
Nebulous? It's a kind of cloud.
Oh.
No, it's not. It's...
planet?
It's in the ether.
They're starting a new show on a new planet called Nebulous.
All right.
It's a good joke, but you threw it at Stugatz, Charlotte.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry.
That's okay.
So it isn't a cloud.
That didn't get the penalty box?
Yes. I can. You know what? Thank you. Okay, go, Charlotte. Get out of here. Well, Sixers Nation.
She was about to promote something.
Well, too late. She lost her chance.
Something is all she can promote, that it's something.
She has a new cloud.
Sixers Nation is getting hit with the freezing cold take treatment because on Twitter, after Jimmy signed in Miami, I hope the beaches and warm weather are worth winning 20 or 30 games a year. Jimmy, I would say see you in the playoffs, but you probably won't be doing that either. Enjoy the rest of your career-long vacation.
Idiots.
They chose Tobias Harris and Ben Simmons over Jimmy Butler.
Well, that's a different question, right? Because I do wonder, Stugatz, and this stuff, man, I know people are tired of it, but if that guy played with three teams and we all said, okay, not good enough to win a championship with that as your best player or keep getting to the finals or be one of the best teams, not good enough. All of us said it. We wouldn't put him in a category with any – man, I heard this weekend Boston people on the radio talking about Jimmy Butler's not a top 20 player, that he's still not a top 20 player. As if they haven't been watching the last 4 years – of basketball, and I did the same thing, Stugatz, when he got here. Can't win with that. And maybe you can't. Maybe it loses to Denver. Maybe the surprise has to stop, the most unprecedented surprise in the history of eight seeds. Not just that an eight seed's winning, but in that sport, which isn't random, doing it easily. Doing it easily. Going to Boston and winning two games on the road, winning all of their games, it's absurd. It's something that's happening that last year, if it happened as a one seed, we'd be saying, well, the Heat are going to win the championship. They're overwhelming everybody. No one's got a chance against them. But because it's happening as an eight seed, because the money, Stugatz, the money, was all on Boston last night. They're still favored to win the series going into last night, as if the money hasn't been watching.
They were 4.5-point favorites for the game last night. Crazy. Easy money taking the Heat. I mean.
But it's as if people don't want to believe what they're seeing, because Stugatz, I rarely have seen, after game two, Kenny, Charles, and Shaq all had their mouths hanging open. They're like, that's not what we were prepared to talk about. That doesn't happen in our sport. Game two at home, Tatum wins. That's any time in history of that sport, game two at home, the higher seed wins that game.
But what's funny about that is before the game, it was Charles and Kenny both saying, this guy and this team, they don't take nights off. They don't look at it as like, hey, we won the first game, therefore we're going to mail it in the second game. And they were right. The Heat don't take nights off. Then no one saw this coming.
But you say, Stugatz, you say the point I was making is people are saying of Jimmy and his three teams, they're saying, can you believe the Sixers let go of Jimmy Butler? Well, would he have been that there?
No.
Because they almost knocked off Kawhi with him there. But somehow the Miami Heat believe something that we didn't, which is he is a top 20 player. If we surround him with a bunch of undrafted people and do it our way, we will show LeBron, hey, organizations win too. It's not just talent. It's organizationally, we'll turn in Jimmy Butler into something he hasn't been.
He hasn't won anything yet. They've made it to the finals. They've won the Eastern Conference. But just the fact that they're getting to the Eastern Conference finals every year with Jimmy Butler is amazing.
Don Lebatard.
Did you guys see Gilbert Arenas' assessment of Zion Williamson?
Agent Zero.
Stugatz.
Did you answer my question there or no? Like,
no.
Okay, very good.
This is the Don Lebatard Show with the Stugatz.
He's the sports editor of The Nation. He's the author of 11 books, including Jim Brown, Last Man Standing, and I wanted to talk to him.
He's a journalist.
He is a journalist.
Yes.
Yes. He reports fairly and objectively and can tackle complicated subject matter. Jim Brown dies this weekend at 87 years old. He was a lot of different things, and in the modern age, he's a lot of different things. Some of them are really bad. Like, he was bad to women. In a way that wouldn't have him universally respected these days, the way that we're giving a trilogy here, right, Dave? We're not going to sugarcoat anything. Jim Brown had a lot of good things, and he had a blemish on his resume as he made gangs put their guns out of respect at a table because he could unite groups of people that nobody could unite because he was a civil rights activist, but he was also a violent man with women. So help me, Dave Zirin. The Jim Brown legacy. Today, we should be celebrating an athlete and parts of a man.
Yeah, we need to study Jim Brown. That's what I've come to the conclusion of. We should not dismiss the legacy of Jim Brown. We should not genuflect in the face of Jim Brown, because his politics, his life, it is vast. You said it, Dan. This isn't about looking at a life. It's looking at five lives. So I'm going to run through some stuff, and please just interrupt me. Look, he was the greatest football player ever, in my opinion, the ultimate tough guy. His most incredible number was zero. That's how many games he missed. He took 60% of the snaps and missed zero games. Just think about that. He was the greatest team sport athlete in history, I would argue, not just football, but shout out Stugatz, lacrosse. Mm-hmm. At Syracuse, for goodness sakes. I mean, to be the best lacrosse player ever, to be called that by your coaches at Syracuse is unbelievable. He tried out for the decathlon in an NCAA tournament without training and came in fifth. I could go on and on. Casey Stengel offered him a Yankees contract. He never played baseball, for goodness sakes. He was also the first modern superstar. He was the first athlete to have an agent. He got coaches fired. He got players re-signed who had been released, who he liked. He ran that team. No athlete had done that before. He got Paul Brown, the guy who the team was named after, fired. You know how remarkable that is? I mean, it's unbelievable. And the owner, one of the owners of the team, got him fired. And I also would argue that his work forming the Black Economic Unions in the 1960s, which was an economic network that linked small businesses with well-paid athletes, I don't think you can have the Black Athlete Revolt in the late 60s without Jim Brown laying that groundwork. And without that Black Athlete Revolt, you don't get Curt Flood, you don't get free agency, you don't get the opening up of sports and money and all the millionaire athletes we have today. Without Jim Brown, you don't get that. For very concrete reasons. Now, there's this other legacy as well that we need to discuss. And by the way, that's just sports. We could talk film. We could talk the gang intervention work. We can talk his later dealings with Donald Trump, which is certainly a part of his history. I mean, it is a vast history, and it's confusing for people because how can you have someone who endorsed Richard Nixon in 1968, but also spoke at Black Panther founder Huey Newton's funeral in 1989. How can you have someone who supported Donald Trump, yet was also a steadfast opponent of the death penalty and fought for gang members to get off death row, like the founder of the Crips, Stan Tookie Williams, when that was a very difficult position to have. And he took that position in his 70s.
Zyron, I'm going to stop you right here, and it's only one reason I'm going to stop you. You know what our show is, okay?
Yes.
We have 9 minutes left, and
I'm sorry.
No. You don't need to be sorry. All I'm telling you,
it felt like you had 15 minutes.
All I'm telling you is you got 9 minutes left, so I'm going to sit it out. But you better bring your best goddamn 9 minutes, because I know you got more than 9 minutes.
Absolutely. I stayed at Jim Brown's house for a week.
Oh, no, that can't be. No, I mean, come on. Look at me, Louis. Stayed at his house for a week. I tell you, give me your best 9 minutes. And it's like I stayed with him.
Journalist.
Well, I learned a lot for what it's worth.
Mm-hmm. Journalism.
And one of the things I definitely learned is that there's a common thread in his politics. Like, and that's one way to understand it, is that he made his mark on these big canvases of masculinity, whether it was football, whether it was gang intervention, whether it was the Black Power movement, whether it was being the Black John Wayne in Hollywood, whether it was making love to Raquel Welch in 100 Rifles. I mean, there's so much there that for him was about expressing his manhood. A film critic named Don Bogle said he was the first Black actor in mainstream Hollywood history to be a Black man with a penis. He said that in Spike Lee's documentary about Jim Brown, and that he was the first Black man allowed to be sexual on camera in a way that Sidney Poitier was not. He also was somebody who was accused of violence against women on multiple occasions over the course of 35 years. You know, Jim Brown would dismiss this by saying, I was never convicted and that I was being railroaded for being this kind of strong Black political figure. But at the same time, he also was able, and there's some truth to that, but he also was able to get off on a lot of these charges precisely because he was in LA, he was famous, the fame industry was real, women would bring charges, they would then back off of them pretty dramatically after dealing with the police. So there's a lot that's very ugly there, and it's all connected to what I think is this very twisted, at times important, at times toxic idea of masculinity. This idea that he would not be challenged. He would not be challenged by the power structure. He would not be challenged by Barack Obama, who would never sit down with him or talk to him, which very much hurt Jim Brown. He would not be challenged by Trump critics, who told him he should not sit down with Donald Trump. He was not going to be told what to do by anybody. And that, from what my research, oftentimes with women who would challenge him, it could get very dark and very ugly very quickly.
A couple of things that I wanted to tackle as it regarded Jim Brown, because he had so much dignity, he refused. He went to jail because he would not be seen in an orange jumpsuit picking up trash, given what his symbol was in America. He had a very cool retirement from sports as the best player in the sport, as the MVP, from the set of The Dirty Dozen. Told them they were not paying him enough, and I'm just going to be a movie star. And I believe produced from the history of civil rights struggles that he has, the single best quote I've ever gotten from an athlete on any subject in a bite-sized form. And when he said of Muhammad Ali, he did not become America's most beloved athlete from its most hated until he lost his ability to speak. Mm. There is so much there with Jim Brown at his passing, but his masculinity was celebrated at a time, and it can be argued that before O.J. Simpson, long before O.J. Simpson, the treatment of women by Jim Brown was deeply appalling, and it is also part of his legacy in a way that can't be escaped today. Even though Dave, you're speaking of an athlete, this is one of the most historic athletes ever in the history of all world sports.
Absolutely. I'll tell you a quick story that Jeremy Schapp told me about filming a segment with Jim Brown while O.J. Simpson was being, you know, arrested and prosecuted back in 94. Is Jim Brown did not like O.J., never liked O.J., thought him to be the ultimate sellout. And he actually wrote something very kind of terrifying and chilling in his book, Out of Bounds, that's Jim Brown's memoir, where he wrote that O.J. Simpson has a mask. And if that mask ever comes off, that would be, he doesn't, he's like, I don't know what's behind that mask, but I don't like it. So that this kind of chilling analysis of O.J. in the mid 80s that Jim Brown had. But when he did this interview with Jeremy Schapp, he took O.J. to task on a million different fronts. And then when the camera turns off, Jim Brown just shook his head and said, I'll say one thing about O.J., man. It's like women, man. It's like I've challenged a lot of men in my day. But when you deal with women, sometimes you're just helpless. So he had a lot of baggage that he was carrying with him about this particular issue of how he interacted with women. But we're also talking about somebody who's this towering figure. So once again, Dan, we're left with this question. How do you deal with problematic men and their legacies from the 20th century? And, you know, I can be high and mighty about Jim Brown and then, you know, get off the show and listen to some Miles Davis without thinking for a second about his personal life, which was not pretty in any way, shape, or form. So it's very difficult. I think we're all wrestling with this right now. The one thing I keep going back to is that we can't dismiss people like Jim Brown. We can't cancel people like Jim Brown. That we also can't genuflect in the face of Jim Brown. These lives need to be studied and understood.
Gary Gade is the greatest Syracuse lacrosse player of all time. But Dave, what is going on in the background there? There are three yellow pieces of loose leaf paper. They're framed. There's something in white above it. Is that journalism? What is that?
I was with John Carlos, 1968 Olympian, and we were doing a talk to the San Antonio Spurs. Name drop. And then we watched the practice and Pop threw his notes away from the practice in the garbage. And I asked one of the managers, can I have the garbage?
That's art in your house, Greg.
That's not journalism.
That's not journalism.
It's a heady play, though.
It's trash.
I don't know what it is, but it ain't journalism, but it is framed in my house.
It's literal trash. You've got trash as art in your house. It's literal trash.
But it's Pop's trash.
What's the matter with you?
Are you a
hoarder? It's great, though. It's Pop's notes, and on the top it says, John Carlos, Dave Zirin, talk to team. I couldn't let that just go by the wayside.
Billy, you seem disgusted.
No, are you a hoarder? I'm just asking.
Because of everything behind me? I'm a hoarder, yes, particularly of books. I can't bring myself to throw them away.
Same.
And it leads to difficulties.
David Gran had a better background than you.
I'm not surprised.
You can't.
Everybody's got a better background than me.
You can't throw it away because somebody poured their life into that thing to give it spirit for two years, 10 years, and you will not disrespect it by just throwing it in a bin somewhere.
Absolutely, and I want to read everything I have, and I'm nowhere close. But that's the life's mission: so many books, so little time.
50 seconds left.
Terrible mission.
Speaking of little time,
what about listening to them on Audible? Does that count?
I have a tough time with Audible. That's a whole other conversation. I'm too busy listening to Levitard Show to waste my time with Audible.
34 seconds
You're too
left.
Busy wasting your time to waste your time.
All right, Stu Gotts, Roy Simmons Sr., legendary coach at Syracuse, said Jim Brown was the greatest ever.
Yep. 24 seconds
it's
left.
It's Gary Gade, and then it's Paul Gade, and then it's Rodney Dumpson, and then perhaps it's Jim Brown.
They had to change the rules for Jim Brown, Stugatz. That's Wilt Chamberlain-esque.
10 seconds. Best Jim Brown fact. One only. 10 seconds.
He was somebody who I was scared would beat me up at age 80.
That's a good one.
And that's a fact.
Jack.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.